Cape Talk.
The Book Review.
I'm always pleased when I find a new thriller writer who has an interesting central character and sets the thrillers in an interesting atmosphere. And I discovered Barry Lancet. I picked up the third Jim Brodey thriller. I'd not heard of Jim Brodey and Barry Lancet, the author, before. And having read the third book, which is called Tokyo Kill, I am trying to find books one and two. Jim Brodey is somebody who grew up, he's an American by citizenship, and he spent a lot of his early days in Japan. And he became an expert in and a trader in Asian art, Japanese and Chinese art. And he inherits a detective agency, which was set up by his father, who'd been part of the American military and who'd stayed on in Tokyo. And he has a 7-year-old daughter. He doesn't have a wife. And he takes over the running of his father's detective agency. And in this book, apparently, like in the first two books, to which reference is made in this third, he gets involved in all sorts of terrible violence and crime, and there's usually an artistic theme in it. There are artworks which are being traded, which are being stolen, which are being sought for, and that is at least part of the reason why people are dying. And this, the third one, the one I read, Tokyo Kill, has its genesis in the Japanese occupation of China during World War II and some of the terrible atrocities which were visited on Japanese by the Japanese troops on the Chinese population and the looting of Chinese art treasures. And now soldiers who were part of a Japanese unit in China in World War II is starting to be killed, and very, very violently killed. And Jim Brodey gets called in to try and work out who's doing the killing. Is it Japanese mafia? Is it Chinese triads? Who's responsible? And the action moves at a furious pace around Tokyo, and which comes to life in a wonderful way in this book. Barry Lancet obviously knows Tokyo in and out. And then there's also there's action in China, there's action in various parts of the United States of America and in the West Indies. And it moves at a really rapid pace, and it's filled with his love of and knowledge of things Japanese. It's really looking forward to finding the first two. The one I read is called Tokyo Kill by Barry Lancet, a Jim Brodey thriller. And for people who enjoy the sort of Colleen McCulloch pastoral romance, I think you would really enjoy The Wool Grower's Companion by Joy Rhodes, which is spelt R-H-O-A-D-E-S. It's her debut novel. She is Australian by birth and by upbringing, spent some time in the US and currently living in London. But this book is set in the remote lands of Australia during the last years of World War II, and somebody has returned from active duty, and he's taken a farm and he's bought a couple of other farms, and his wife dies and his daughter marries and her husband is still fighting. And it's a real struggle to keep the farm going. There's drought, there's terrible heat, there is the difficulty of sourcing supplies because of everything needing to go to the war effort. And in the last years of in the last months of 1945, he brings onto the farm two Italian prisoners of war, Luca and Vittorio. And the daughter, Kate, is rather more attracted to Luca and he to her than should be the case, given the fact that it's Australian citizen against Italian prisoner of war and she is married. And there's also a young Aboriginal maid called Daisy who's in the farm, and she is a character who's used to introduce some of the terrible conditions under which Aboriginal people lived in much worse at the time. It's saga stuff, but it's satisfyingly done. It's well written, and it doesn't become overly sentimental. And she describes the aridity and the vast and almost sterile beauty of the Australian thirstlands beautifully, and she understands her characters, and I liked it very much. The Wool Grower's Companion by Joy Rhodes. And then the non-fiction work, which those people particularly like memoirs might enjoy, is a book called The Mighty Franks, a memoir by Michael Frank, who is an American author, a columnist, a screenwriter, a book reviewer, and he grew up in Hollywood in quite extraordinary circumstances. His mother and father, they were married, and his mother was married to his father's sister, and his father was married to his wife's brother, if you understand that. So sister married brother, and brother married sister, and they lived next door to each other. And the young Frank has coming into his life a rather strange and gloriously over-the-top aunt, Hanky, and she was one of the top screenwriters in America during the 1950s and 1960s, and she adopts the young Michael Frank and takes over his educational upbringing and tells him that this author is good and this author is bad and this filmmaker is watchable and this filmmaker is not, and this artist you can admire and this one you must reject. And she picks him up in her convertible and she's enveloped in perfume. She puts him in the front seat and she takes him on a cultural ride through Hollywood. And at first he's charmed and seduced and loves it and her. But eventually he starts to feel that the relationship is problematic in that she will brook no opposition, she will brook no disagreement, she will not allow him to have a life outside of this relationship with her. She's still alive. She's 100 years old and still alive. There's a degree, the only thing what I didn't like about it is that there is a degree of, is spite too strong a word, but there's a degree of malice that he takes rather too much pleasure in showing off the worst of her traits. But that said, he can write absolutely beautifully, and his description of Hollywood in the 50s and 60s and early 70s is wonderful. It's called The Mighty Franks, a memoir by Michael Frank.